This morning I want to look at the three R's. For those of you of a certain generation like my own, that may mean reading, writing and arithmetic. But that's not what I'm going to be looking at this morning. Rather, it's three R's that stem from the power of the resurrection. In Paul's great prayer for the Ephesians, he writes this: "May you know his incomparably great power for us who believe." And that incomparably great power that he prays for is indeed the power of the resurrection, as he goes on to explain. So what I'm speaking on this morning is the power of the resurrection, and out of it, three R's. The three R's are reconciliation, restoration, and responsibility. Reconciliation, restoration, and responsibility. And I want to illustrate them from the gospel story that we have just heard read. Before I do that, let me set the scene. It's not an unfamiliar scene to most of us. Just a few days, perhaps a couple of weeks before Jesus' arrest, Peter swore to stand by him. We read that in John 13. "I will stand by you," said Jesus. "Whatever happens, I will be there." Sadly, of course, we all know how long that swearing lasted. Within hours, he, along with all the disciples, had run away when Jesus was arrested. And a short time after, he had sworn no less than three times that he knew or had anything to do with Jesus. No wonder he ended up in shame and despair. Then came the news that the women brought: "The tomb is empty. We have seen Jesus. He's alive." You may remember how Peter and John were the first of the male disciples to run to the tomb to check out what the women had said. But on that occasion, they didn't see Jesus. And then, of course, as we read last week, there was the encounter in the upper room on the very first evening of Easter Sunday. But there, we don't hear anything of Peter individually, as the meeting is one to the whole group of disciples. And even a week later, when Jesus appears again in the upper room, the focus of the story is on Thomas. And it's not now, until the beginning of John 21, that we encounter Peter again by name. You see, Peter was, dare I say it, and you ladies will know what I'm talking about, Peter was a typical man. When there were problems, when there was shame and guilt, he would run to the familiar. He would go and do something. He would hide in his man cave, go to his shed, go out fishing, whatever, rather than face the issue. And that's what Peter did, along with several others we read. But that night of fishing turned out to be a rerun of one just around about 3 years earlier. They had a fruitless night. They caught nothing. And of course, night time was the best time for fishing. You didn't fish in the day because the fish would not be around. But then there was this, as such, unidentified man on the shore. who seemed to know that they'd caught something. Was he ridiculing them? What was he doing? But no, he gave them a simple instruction. Throw the net on the right side of the boat. And we know the rest. An unimaginable haul of large fish. A rerun of what had happened 3 years previously in the early days of Jesus' ministry. Surely for Peter, he must have begun to remember what Jesus had said 3 years earlier. I'm going to make you fishers of men. That early is called to be a part of Jesus' disciples. Perhaps, thought Peter, Jesus has forgotten my trial, my failure. I won't mention it. I'll just act normal. However, as so often happens, Jesus had other ideas. And we come to that short dialogue. Three times, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Three times he was asked that. And so we come to our three R's from the power of the resurrection. First of all, reconciliation. You see, you'll all know that we were created for relationship. We're not meant to live in isolation. We are meant to be able to relate, first of course, to God, who models relationship in what we in Christian circles call the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But then, of course, with each other. In the story of man's creation, God says of Adam, it's not good that you're alone, and created Eve. But we also know, sadly, the familiar story of what happened in the garden, the fall, and that from that moment onwards, sin came in. And sin is the greatest of all relationship spoilers. First with God. Adam and Eve hid from God in the garden. And then from each other. Adam and Eve began to argue whose fault it was, blaming each other in one way or another. And every single one of us here will know of the pain and effect on relationships that sin and betrayal and failure can have, whether it's in friendships, in marriage, in workplace relationships. All can be spoiled by sin. But we also know that we all have ways of coping with it, from denial to distractions, hoping that the pain will somehow go away. But the truth is there's only one way back, and that is reconciliation. It's what was happening in that little beach dialogue with Jesus and Peter. As we know, Jesus' greatest desire is for reconciliation. Not by denying sin, nor choosing to just somehow forget it or sweep it under the carpet, but rather by facing it and dealing with it in the only way possible, by the cross and the power of the resurrection. You see, contrary to popular belief, when we sin, when we fail, however great, God is not out to get us. He's not out to put us down. He's not out to throw us on the rubbish heap of shame. No, his desire is always to pick us up, to bring us back into relationship, to bring us to reconciliation. But it doesn't end there for Peter, and it doesn't end there for us. Because reconciliation leads on to restoration. You might think that they're the same thing, but they're not quite. One leads from the other. I've already mentioned the memory Peter must have had of that call 3 years previous. But then, of course, there was an even greater call just weeks earlier, when Jesus was with his disciples asking the question, "Who do people say that I am?" And various answers were given, Elijah, the prophet. And as always, it was big mouth Peter who spouted out, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus responded, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you, are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Peter had been promoted, as it were, from just a disciple to the leader in the foundation of the church. Surely he must have thought that his denial and failure days before had put the mockers on that. Incidentally, mockers comes from the Greek for spoiling. But no, from reconciliation, Jesus, with those three questions and answers, restored Peter to leadership. And that was the grace of it. Three questions, "Do you love me?" matching the three denials of that dark night weeks ago. When we mess up and are reconciled, we are also restored. God wants to bring us back to what we were originally meant to be doing. Incidentally, I believe that's a lesson for the church. Of course, there have to be safeguards and careful oversight when somebody messes up, when there's sexual or financial impropriety. But is that person to be destroyed and put on the rubbish heap forever? I believe the model of Jesus is always to bring reconciliation and restoration. I remember well in the mid-80s when we first came across John Wimber, that one of his team, a chap called Blaine Cook, had the amazing gift of words of knowledge of what were problems with people. He was a lovely, lovely man. But within a few years, he very sadly fell into sexual sin and had to be removed from ministry. It was a shock and a shame, and we wondered what was going to happen. But then in 1996, John Wimber had his last return visit to this country at Central Hall, Westminster, 12 years after his first. And who should be introduced on the platform but Blaine Cook? He had repented. He'd been through various teachings and counsellings and help over the issue. But he was restored to the wonderful public ministry that God had given him. I wonder if some of the awful sexual scandals that have come to light after many years would have been far less awful if they'd been dealt with, not by putting them under the carpet, not by wishing they'd go away, but by dealing with the individuals and seeking to bring restoration and to that person's ministry. Reconciliation, restoration, and finally, responsibility. It's often been said that freedom brings responsibility. But equally, so do these other two of resurrection power. In being reconciled and restored, we need to then recognise and accept our responsibilities that flow out of them. Whether it's to go and spread the good news of Jesus Christ, whether it's to make the friendships that we've got work and guard them so that it doesn't happen again. We have those responsibilities. For Peter, the responsibilities that came from his reconciliation and his restoration was to build the church, to feed the lambs, as it were, to care for the sheep. And for Paul, just a little bit of the story that we read in the reading from Acts. For Paul, following his dramatic encounter with Jesus, his reconciliation and his ultimate restoration to leadership, he had that great responsibility of taking the gospel to the Gentiles. In baptism, this morning, we were reminded of the three R's. First, that it's a sign of God's great plan to bring reconciliation. Second, we're reminded that the little one is restored to her original calling. And thirdly, that there are responsibilities in this, whether it's the parents and godparents responsible for bringing Isabella up in the faith, whether it's us as a church supporting Isabella and parents and all the other parents of youngsters in our church. But it's also a responsibility on Isabella, because she didn't have much of a say this morning. But she will have to take that responsibility in the years ahead, whether when she's 3 or 4 or a teenager or whenever, that she will accept Jesus for herself. Simon messed up big time. Nobody can argue about that. But by the cross and the power of the resurrection, he encountered reconciliation, restoration, and accepted the responsibilities that were his. May each of us today, wherever we are on that spectrum of relationship with God, whatever our past, however we've messed up in years gone by, may each of us experience the power of the resurrection in our lives today. Amen. We're going to stand now for our offertory hymn, How Deep the Father.